Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
Bart on vacation this week, so in his place, the great Ty Butler. And as you know, it's hour number three, so you know what comes right now. This is the power hour. This is a big part of the show. There are people in their cars who need their afternoon caffeine. We give it to them in audio form. And this I've heard from people everywhere around the city. In fact, in L.A., it has happened. That is true. I have witnesses that when I am out and about around the country, happened in Dallas as well, is that I will get people to shout to me, power hour. And so this has become a thing that people look forward to. You have to nail it. When Bart's not here, we tend to let callers do it. But because we have a co-host today, and it is Ty Butler, and you have done it in the past, and it has been, shall we say, dicey.
It's the power hour, 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 hour.
I mean, that's pretty good.
It's pretty good.
It's not this.
That means it's the power hour, 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 hour.
So I'm going to give you a shot, and then if it sucks, we'll have, like Dino and I will commiserate.
All right.
And then we will maybe let callers do it. Because this is very important. Like I said, this is important to the listeners, the customers. We have to deliver today. So, Ty Butler, it's hour number three. It's Bart and Han. What's that mean?
That means it's the power hour, 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 hour.
That was really good. I got to give you credit. Ray, right? You agree with me? That was pretty good.
Just the perfect amount of aggression.
Right? Yeah, I mean, I think it was a good level. Now, generally, the amount of hours you add are a reason. Like Bart would have, he was trying to do Nixon 6 in one point. I think Ooh. He had heat. Like, there's always like a number of those you do, and then you have a reason for it. So we'll have to like work on that for the future. But still, all right, that's out of the way. It is the power hour. We have your calls at 800-919-3776 to get to. And we have more to get to. So we were just talking about Le'Veon Bell and his recollections that he could remember through all the smoke of Adam Gase and how the minute he showed up with the Jets, he realized, wow, coaching does make a difference. And this, and he basically said that even Sam Darnold wasn't anywhere near as prepared as he should have been. And while we don't want to go back in time because those were embarrassing times, the franchise was horrible back then because of the terrible hire that they made. But now this is the healthiest the Jets have been in a long time. And it's really good to see. And it really has to do with what was built first and then how what they built attracted someone of the level of Aaron Rodgers, who is living his best life since he's moved here and become a Jet.
He was a Swiftie on Friday night.
He was, and he was celebrating. And there was a point in the concert. Do we have the audio yet, guys? All right, almost there. So I'm going to stall until we get it. But there was a point during the whole celebration. And he legit is a Taylor Swift fan. I mean, he was naming songs and albums. He was really into it. But there was this point during the concert where confetti goes flying and there's this whole cell. Like, it was just, you know, it's all over the fans and they're there. And so he's on Instagram. And it was a Kaylee Teller, is that her name? And she's got her Instagram going, and she's there with her husband and Aaron Rodgers. And Rodgers is on the screen with confetti falling on him at MetLife Stadium, and this is what he chooses to say.
Just want to
And if you didn't hear it clearly, he said the Jets won the Super Bowl. So, Ty, will we have a moment where that looked like that was, you know, like a little parody? It was fun. Will we have a moment where there is confetti falling around him and he says those words?
I can't even bring my mind to that place yet because, you know, Alan, we're conditioned as Jet fans. Anytime there is an expectation that you're going to do something grandeur, we get the first OTAs, and your starting quarterback has a calf injury. Your starting receivers like got ankle issues.
Yeah.
So we're just conditioned to think that you know, failure is on the doorstep.
Bad things happen.
But man, I'll be honest. So now that the NBA season is ending, you know, baseball is kind of like making its way to front and center. I am so excited about September opening against the Bills and then playing the Cowboys. And, you know, everyone's talking about it's a tough schedule. Well, for the first time, I think ever, you feel like you go into every single week feeling like, yeah, it's tough, but we've got an opportunity to win because we have a quarterback who is capable of on any given day being the best quarterback on the field. So that gets me excited. I'm not going to the Super Bowl place yet. I can't get there yet, Alan. Mm-hmm. I don't know what that even means. I don't know what it looks like. I'm a Jet fan. But what I will say is I've got high expectations. I think they can win this division. And I'm so excited about that opening Monday night game. Because if they win, then you can dream a little bit. You still got Cincinnati and Kansas City who are. I don't think there's anything the Jets can do in a regular season that's going to put them ahead of those two teams. But you certainly can get a lot closer to them if you go out there and you take care of business, which I expect them to do, assuming they can stay healthy.
Would you accept? I'm trying to think of like, because this, I don't know how you do it, but anytime something like this happens, you start to like play those games in your head about what's it going to be, what's going to happen next. And you start saying like, okay, this happened, so what is the least that I would want to see happen this year? Right? Like that's generally what you do.
Yeah.
Like I always try to remember myself as a fan. And I remember 97 or 96, I guess it is. That summer, the Knicks have 3 first-round picks. They get Allen Houston. They make the trade for Larry Johnson, and it's like they're remaking a roster. And like it's just right away, I'm like, okay. At worst, you got to get to the finals. Like this team should beat the Bulls. Okay, that's what you're thinking. Now, of course, nobody's thinking about the fact that you're talking about, you know, one of the epic Bulls teams of all time. But yeah. Like you're just saying to yourself, like, okay, like the Bulls did what they did, but this is it now. Like you got to be able to beat this team. You got to be able to beat them. And this team can do it. You got younger. You got more athletic. You got scoring. Ewing finally has some help. And that's what you tell yourself. What do you tell yourself at worst? This has to happen. What do you tell yourself?
I say at worst it has to be a championship game. Just because the whole variable in this equation is Rodgers' age. He's 40.
Yeah.
So it'd be different if he were, you know, 7 years younger and now you actually have
But he's not like Y.A. Tittle 40.
No, I get it.
You know what I mean? Like
he
doesn't look like an old man playing the sport.
Doesn't.
He looks just like Tom Brady did when he showed up in Tampa.
But he also does not come across as a guy like Tom Brady who once declared, I'm going to play until I'm 45. Rodgers, like the way he sounds, now we could never really read him because he's a mystery. But he doesn't sound like the type of guy
mystery.
Who wants to hang around until he just doesn't have it anymore. Like he wants to go out. Like, would you be shocked if Rodgers is fantastic and then decides to retire?
Yes.
I wouldn't be shocked.
No, I would. Here's why. If he plays great and is healthy and they lose, like you said, AFC championship game, they lose to Mahomes. He's just too freaking good, right? And they lose to Mahomes. They go to Arrowhead and they lose. I would think that he would have that chip on his shoulder, which is the thing that drives him. I think he walks away if it's a disaster season, he gets hurt, or they win the Super Bowl. I don't think he walks away in one. Like, he's not a one and done unless they have the Super Bowl or there's a terrible injury that sets him back, or like it's a, you know, an epic Jet meltdown kind of thing where there's drama and there's, you know, like coaching. Like, you know how it is with Jets. I don't want to say things, I don't want to speak it into existence, but like, look at Jets history. There's always something that happens and it just becomes catastrophic and they can't overcome it. It's a player goes AWOL and creates this whole drama problem. It is something happens like Ime Udoka and the Celtics. Nobody sees that coming, but it happens and now it's like a mess. Like there's just something that happens that you don't see, you don't foresee happening. and it just goes south really fast. And he looks around going, but they're not kidding. This is same old Jets. This place, they're never going to win here. And he just says, I'm out of here. Or he gets hurt. Or they win a champion. They win the Super Bowl.
Let me rephrase
That's it.
It.
Other than that, he's not a one and done. I'd still think he'd play a second year if this was a successful season that they get oh so far on the doorstep but can't overcome it. I don't see him as a personality that goes, that's enough for me. I'm good.
Let me rephrase it because I get why you took it in that direction. What I'm saying is, yes, and I agree with you. If there is any kind of inkling that elusive second championship, like you're right there within reach, I think there would be a hunger for it. I'm just saying that just like looking at him as an individual, he does not come across to me as a guy who is just going to empty the tank and my body is going to let me know when I'm done. I think he would be perfectly content going out even off of a great season, which terrifies me. Because that means that now you have a window with this 40-year-old quarterback. So if when we create the hypothetical of what's the worst case scenario this year, factoring in what the window is with this 40-year-old quarterback, it has to me at the very least be AFC Championship game. It has to be there. It has to start and end there. It can't just be make the playoffs or win a playoff game. It has to be AFC Championship game.
I agree with that. I agree with that. This isn't a just make the playoffs and everybody's happy kind of situation, because after what their defense did last year and after what their quarterback situation looked like, if they had added Derek Carr, who from what I understand was pretty much right there, like Derek Carr wanted to be a Jet. And if they had gone that direction, let's say they got the vibe from Green Bay or even from Rodgers
that he didn't want to come.
That
in.
He's like, yeah, I'm good. Like, I don't want to play.
Then you could sell me.
They would
on
have gone
the
Derek
playoffs.
Carr, and yeah. then I would right. That would have been the standard because they were good enough without abomination of quarterback play to just be a playoff team last year. So that would have been the expectation there. But you add a guy who's an all-world quarterback who still has plenty left in the tank. Who it's not like he looked like he was the wheels were falling off last year. He had a bad hand, and he still threw.
Yeah.
He still had a good year for other quarterbacks. It was a down year for him. That's why, to me, it's more of if the Jets win the NFC, you would think they should just roll to the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Because in the AFC, and it's loaded.
It's loaded, man.
It's we all understand that it's going to be a tough road.
And then, by the way, so now
I
you
just don't
see,
know. Go ahead.
Now you see reports. And it's kind of getting annoying and tired. Whoa. Oh, could Brady come back and play for Vegas because of the Jimmy Garoppolo injury?
I don't think you can. Now, wait a minute. I saw that too. That was, by the way, was it Troy Aikman that said that? Was it Troy?
I just saw it on. I just saw a bunch of people throwing
said,
it around.
Like,
on Twitter.
I wouldn't put it past him or something like that. The only thing I have with that, and this came up when he met with Stephen Ross, right? The Dolphins owner.
Yeah.
That serendipitous, not serendipitous. What's the word I'm looking for? It was a secret meeting, basically. I was trying to be fancy with my words, but I'll just say it was a secret meeting that ended up getting discovered that he met with Ross about the Dolphins. And that was considered tampering, which is why they lost the pick. I don't think you can play with an ownership stake.
Well, I think I saw that 24 of the 32 owners would vote on it, and then they would determine if you're allowed to play, or he could just give up ownership stake in Vegas. He could just give up the stake.
Here's the thing, because when you do that, it's sort of like, okay, I want to, if I want to land DeAndre Hopkins.
Yeah, it looks like a quid pro quo thing.
By giving him, giving him some ownership stake. So, anyways, if Brady would do that and play for Josh McDaniels, would it shock you? Of course it wouldn't shock you. Do you think he'll do it? No, I don't.
Because I just think can't he already put it past him.
Come on. It's one thing if the Raiders were a ready-made roster of talent. They really aren't that. I don't think they're in that place right now.
They were supposed to be heading into last year.
Yeah,
that was a team that was expected to be pretty good. You get Davante Adams.
Right, okay.
Yes. And it didn't work out.
Davante Adams wants the world to know – See, I made all pro without Aaron Rodgers.
Is he also taking shots and saying, I don't see the vision here? But the reason why I brought up Vegas was because like that would be just be yet another team, you know, standing in the way of the Jets. I saw Deshaun Watson trying to recruit DeAndre Hopkins to Cleveland. So it's a loaded conference.
By the way, why? That's true. Weren't they tight in Houston?
Yeah, but Hopkins wants to win a championship. He's at the tail end of his career. Cleveland close to winning a title?
No.
No.
Is Buffalo?
You would assume that if they had him, everyone seems to be higher on Buffalo than I am, but I wouldn't argue that adding him definitely puts them closer to, you know, to winning a championship.
It's an interesting conversation.
Him opposite of Stephon Diggs?
No, Stephon Diggs might get jealous, though. You know how he is about, you know.
He's not getting enough touches?
Not getting enough touches. Right? Like, he'll be the first guy to start complaining.
Yeah, that's toxic, man. Yeah, you want to try to win a championship.
Josh Allen already has enough relationship issues going on in his life. He doesn't need to deal with it on the field as well.
But you look at the AFC, Allen. It's tough.
All right. If you really look at the AFC this way, you have to put Mahomes at number one because they're the defending champs, right? Mahomes, Chiefs, that team is the best team.
Then the Bengals.
You have Cincinnati after them?
Yeah, but they were just in the Super Bowl and could have gone back there last year.
Okay. After that, where are you going?
I'd go maybe...
You going Buffalo there?
I might go Buffalo or Baltimore. Now that Lamar's there, he's got OBJ. They just drafted a receiver.
Yeah. Odell's got to stay healthy, right? Bateman's got to stay healthy. Zay Flowers is a talent, but he's young, so you don't know what you're getting there. Andrews has to stay healthy. Offensive line has to stay healthy. New system, he's learning. Mm-hmm. I believe he can do it because I saw him in college show me he could be a pro offense, you know, a pocket passing kind of quarterback.
Now the rumors are they want to throw the ball more this year.
Well, that's what I mean. That's what Todd Monken is bringing to this team. So I believe he can do it, but it's still a new system that he's got to fit, you know, learn, assimilate, and all that stuff. But
so those are three teams, you know, right there,
I mean,
that you
Justin
could argue.
Herbert and the Chargers. I mean, they
the Chargers got to win something.
They always
first.
Find a way to screw it up, and then you have Sean Payton and
Denver
and Russell Wilson.
Well, he's apparently lost all this weight this year, so he's fit and ready to go.
You know when you always hear that about guys? Best shape of my life.
Yeah.
Best shape. Remember the last guy that was in the best shape of his career? It was Ezekiel Elliott.
How'd
why?
That work?
Because he knew he was about to lose the money. It's just the way it goes, man. So
I mean, Jacksonville. I
wouldn't sleep.
Won a playoff game last year.
I wouldn't sleep.
Trevor Lawrence, and what would this be? Year three? I know some people say it's year two because you don't count what happened with what was the doofus who they had? Urban Meyer. You don't count year one because of Urban Meyer,
right? Talk about a wasted year. Talk about like we say Sam Darnold with Adam Gase. I mean, it's amazing that Urban Meyer didn't ruin Trevor Lawrence.
Yeah.
Right after all that, but. The other name, the one team that you haven't brought up is a team like Lewis Riddick is high on.
Pittsburgh?
No.
Miami.
The Dolphins.
Lewis
Riddick said the Dolphins are winning the division.
Listen.
And I'm looking at him like, they're one hit away.
Yeah. How do we know I'm getting...
Then Mike White is your quarterback. And Mike, we love Mike White here,
don't get it,
but
don't
he's
get
still
it twisted.
Mike White.
Mike Bleepin' White. That's
Mike
what
Bleepin',
it is.
Okay, well, he's still Mike Bleepin' White.
Man.
And the last I saw too, he's another guy that when he took one hit and he was done.
you don't
have two
know
quarterbacks
what
that are one hit wonders.
You don't know what you're getting from your quarterback. 17 games, him having to endure the entire of a season with what he had, 3 concussions last year.
Yeah, last year he was thinking about retirement.
Yeah.
Now you're gonna win a division?
Yeah, I wouldn't go that far. Of course, love Lewis Riddick. He's one of the best football minds there
yeah,
is
I can
out
disagree
there.
With him.
But I that's a bridge too far for me, my G.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's loaded, man. It's you look at the conference, it's tough, and I do feel guilty being the Jet fan 13 years removed from its last playoff appearance saying, you know what? Worst case scenario, AFC championship game. I'm not satisfied with just making the playoffs. I'm not satisfied just winning one play. Like,
gotta
you're a Jet
there.
Fan. You shouldn't be having those lofty expectations with what your recent history has been. But when you go out there and get in the Aaron Rodgers business, and it's championship or bust because
it's
of
done.
You know what you've constructed your team to be, it's hard not to have that expectation be what it is.
It is absolutely time for it, and I'm all for it, and I'm looking forward to the season. But I'm loving this offseason because it's the honeymoon, and there's nothing better than the honeymoon, right? This is the best time.
And he's playing it well, man.
Oh, like he is. He is so smart because he's hitting every note. He knows all the things we want to hear about. Let me see. Today I'll talk about how much I love New York.
The 86 Mets.
Then I'm going to watch a documentary and give him some little 86 Mets history. Oh, that'll get him.
Let me hit up the Taylor Swift concert.
Then he's going to go to a concert and be like regular New York. Like, what else is he going
to
do?
Let me show up to a Knicks playoff game.
Oh, he did that.
Ranger game. Yeah, I'm saying he did those. He's crossing all of it off the checklist.
All of it. When somebody asked him one of his favorite sports moments, he's like, you know, when John Starks dunked on the Bulls.
Oh, man. He's like, I'll never forget that. I'm going to be honest. Hearing the Here Comes Willis, that just brings.
You know, whenever I hear Enter Sandman, I think one thing only, the greatest closer in the sport. Like, if he does that, he'll have his eating out of the palm of his hand. Then week one will come.
Yeah.
That's the thing.
It's easy to rehab your image like during the offseason when games aren't being played.
Right.
But after that first bad loss, and you've got to explain it and fans are irate.
And we're just going to be flipping out like the morons that we are.
That's how we really test the boundaries.
That's what makes the early schedule so crazy. Like, this is what I could see. I could see him. He's going to be wearing Tim's and white T-shirts. He's going to be quoting Rakim and Billy Joel. Like, this is like, he's doing all of it.
Quoting Rakim. He's going to be like, yo, man, we celebrating hip-hop turning 50 years this year. Shout out to Eric B and Rakim.
How about him throwing up the woo in practice just one just randomly, man?
It's like, man, that I've Got a Story to Tell Biggie documentary, that really inspired me one night.
But he's smart. I give it to him. He's smart, and I'm loving the honey. This is the best honeymoon that we have had in sports in a long time. I can't think of the last time the honeymoon's been this much fun. Because usually, like, these kind of trades and deals and stuff are made, and it's like, you don't have to wait too long. But we get to just sit here and wait, and he's going to practice against air and look amazing. Like, honestly, this is the most fun. I can't think of the last time.
This fun, right?
Athlete showed up and looked at it like, you know, I said, Mark Messier once said, this town is just an apple, I want a bite.
Mm.
Right? Like, it's just, that's what he's doing.
That's what I told my wife when I got her number.
Yeah.
Apple, you're just an apple and I want a bite.
Phrasing.
And the car worked out.
Yeah, be fruitful.
Two kids later.
That's what I'm saying.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
As someone who, although you live in this area, you're not a Knicks fan, you're not a Nets fan, you're a Lakers fan.
Yeah, Kobe guy.
Yeah, you're a Kobe guy. So you're
I'm a Lakers fan. Yeah,
But I'm explaining why. Are you unaffected at all by like watching Boston? because you're a Yankees fan, so I imagine there's still you still have this. Lakers hate Boston.
No, I hate disdain for the Celtics.
Okay, that's what I figured. You're born into that, and then the Yankee thing only makes it worse. So did you enjoy watching what looked like it's like all this effort, and then and then they lay an egg at home, and they blow it. They can't win. They can't make history by being the first team in NBA history to come back from an 0-3 deficit. Did you have a level of enjoyment watching that happen?
Oh, it was fantastic because all their fans after Saturday night, it was just a fait accompli. They were going to the NBA Finals. There was no way they were losing this series. Come back, tie the series at 3-3. You get a home game with a chance to get to the finals. I loved it. I enjoyed it. Now, part of me also gets a little annoyed by the whole Heat culture thing.
Yeah.
It's so nauseating, and I'm watching Alonzo Mourning up there with the trophy smiling. And you know, this is what we do. You're Miami Heat. That's annoying. But I didn't think, because as someone who is fond of both Jimmy Butler and Eric Spoelstra, it would not have been right for those two guys to wear, you know, becoming the first team in NBA history to blow a 3-0 lead.
Yeah,
like
I
when you think
right.
of guys who deserve it, like think of a coach player duo that deserves it. It's not Eric Spoelstra and Jimmy Butler.
Or a team that you could see it, like you could see that happening. Like I could totally see them, you know, giving up that lead. Like you could see it. Although I didn't expect the Warriors to do it, but because I'm big on karma. So Draymond Green, that was karma.
He just couldn't stop kicking people in the balls.
Like that was karma. That's what you get, and now your team loses like you're supposed to lose this series. And I looked at that what they did in game three, and I'm like, that's what you get.
Mm-hmm.
Like you show up in game three and nobody's there, nobody's fighting. You had no fight at all in that game. It was embarrassing. So that's what you get. So you don't get your comeback because you don't get rewarded after having a game like that. So for me, again, I mean, I'm kind of with you. For me, it's more of the, you know, the Boston thing. Now the Bruins are out in game seven at home. The Celtics go out in game seven at home. That has not happened. And it's two South Florida teams beating Boston teams in game sevens, knocking them out of the playoffs at home. And that happened in 1973. The Knicks and the Rangers did that to the Bruins, the Celtics and the Bruins, respectively. And so there's all that stuff. But do you also look at, okay, I watched the Bucks melt down as the arguably the best team in the East, and they lose in the first round. They fire their coach. They've got an offseason of what do you do with Chris Middleton?
Well, he's got a player option.
I'm just saying, what do you do?
Yeah.
And so there's a little bit of turmoil there. Then I watch in the second round, and once again, the Sixers can't get out of the second round. It's just what they do.
Especially with Joel Embiid.
Right,
yeah.
Joel Embiid, they can't get out of the second
round.
You
realize they haven't been past the second round since they were in the finals
since Allen
in 2001?
Iverson in 2001, that's correct.
That's crazy.
Yeah. So that happens, and you just know Harden can't win in the postseason. Doc has been on a struggle bus for a decade. And then you have Embiid who can never win. So now they're in this turmoil. They just hired Nick Nurse, by the way. And Nick Nurse is not a James Harden coach. There's no way that James Harden is going to – what do you want me to – you want me to fly – you want me to go from the right the above the break on the right side trap and then run across and recover at the nail for this guy as they reverse the ball. Yeah, I ain't doing that.
Oh, you want me fighting through screens? Yeah, no chance.
All that stuff, right? Oh, yeah. I'm supposed to go over that screen? Yeah, that's not going to happen. No, I'm going to flop, okay? You good with that? If I just flop here, I'm just going to fall down and pretend I'm hurt. And they won't call it, but the crowd will believe that I got fouled. And so at least they'll be on my side.
Oh,
yeah,
man.
None of that's going on. So that happens there. And now Boston has this epic meltdown where they were down 0-3 embarrassed. They kind of like give you a couple of games that make you feel like they're fighting back. They lucked game six. I don't care what anybody says. That game was over. They blew it. Jimmy Butler hit clutch free throws, and then they get lucky on a bounce that goes right to Derek White for a putback barely in time. They were lucky to win that game. They did not deserve to win game seven. They lose it. With that in mind, all along, questions about Joe Mazzulla. Was this the right coaching hire? Ime Udoka was already the reason. Like, he already started this whole thing at the start of the season. This season was literally a mess from the very start. Jaylen Brown is owed an extension of $295 million. If you are the Knicks, how are you not looking at these situations happening around you in the East and just twisting your mustache, hoping they all make bad decisions that negatively affect their ability to stay above you in the standings.
So here's the thing. I will say that you're overrating what's happened with Milwaukee. I think they'll figure out the Chris Middleton. He's got a $40 million player option, which you would imagine coming off the season he just had with the injuries and inconsistency, he's going to pick up his option and try to play for a big contract. Still got Drew Holiday there. Brooke Lopez is a UFA, so they got to figure out what they're doing with him. But I think as long as you have the trio of Giannis, Drew.
Too, they hired Adrian Griffin.
Yeah, an assistant
coach.
Been
an assistant for a long time.
Unproven. Yep, I get it. But
I'm just saying.
But that's not enough
it's
to
who,
me.
It's who Giannis wanted, though.
It's not enough of a question mark where you now say Milwaukee drops like significantly down in the East. Because as long as they still employ Giannis with Middleton and Drew Holiday, you can figure it out. Now, you can say, could it stop them from winning a championship? Sure.
But they've already won one.
But they're still the best team to me in the conference.
All right.
The Sixers,
am I overstating the Sixers and the Celtics,
no,
though?
You're not overstating that because with the Sixers, their second-best player, a guy who led the league in assists, might go to Houston, might go back to Houston. So, I mean, if—
Or he might take the money, stay, and then, you know, essentially do what he did in Brooklyn, which is, yeah, I don't want to be here.
Yeah, just, you know, eat his way out of town.
Literally.
Eat his way out of town.
Like, you don't know what's going to happen there. You have no idea.
Which creates, like, an interesting, like, should they, if Harden walks, you go after Trae Young if you're the Sixers?
I don't know.
Need talent.
Trae Young? All right, then it brings us to the Celtics. Let's play hypothetical here because we all love doing this. Greeny and I tried to get Zach Lowe to do an entire podcast dedicated to this, and you could tell he was like, yeah, I don't know if I want to do this. Just a straight-up hypothetical Jaylen Brown trades. The assumption, let's just create an assumption that the Celtics owners are like, we'd like to keep these two together, but there's no way in hell we're giving this guy $295 and the next summer give the other guy $305.
Yeah, not happening.
Like, that's not happening. One of them probably is going to get the Supermax, not both. So we'll tell Jaylen, we'll give you less than your max, and he'll say, nope.
Nope.
And then we'll be, all right, then we have to trade you. Fine. So let's come up with, how can you possibly trade a guy? He's going to be 27 years old when the season starts next year. He's an all-star, an all-NBA player. He was good in the finals last year, so it's not like this guy. What you saw in Game 7, that's your last memory. 8 turnovers, bad shooting. That's not who he really is. He is a good player, and he plays both ends of the court.
You don't give $295 million to a good player.
Well, yeah, that's also the other part of this. So let's just assume, let's play the hypothetical that Jaylen Brown is on the market. What could the Celtics possibly trade him for that is, for them, A, it keeps them a contender, B, it's a fair trade for a player of his age and caliber?
I mean, the name that's going to keep coming up is Dame Lillard.
Yeah, an older player, but he's a clutch player, which they are a terrible clutch team, one of the worst in the playoffs. So they'd have a guy that could close for them, with Tatum, who can still obviously get you 50 on a given night. Is that enough to feel like you could now? Does Jaylen Brown want to go to Portland?
No.
No, they're trying to rebuild.
Yeah.
So do you get a third team involved that can give you a bunch of picks in Portland, which is what they'd probably want in a Damian Lillard trade?
Is there a team you know that has a bunch of picks that they could possibly get?
I mean, there's one. There's one I know.
What team is that?
It'd be the Knicks.
Wow.
You can give them a couple of young players, a ton of draft picks, and then find a way to turn Jaylen Brown going to Portland. The funny thing is the Knicks would be acquiring Damian Lillard just to trade him to Boston.
For Jaylen Brown.
But does that solve everybody's problem?
I don't know that it does. I think
no?
It solves the problems for, like, first of all, Dame has to agree to get traded. Because he's been steadfast on this, I'm here, I'm loyal to the city, I don't want to leave, I want to win a championship here.
I know, you're right.
So that's the first domino that has
they
to...
They would have to go to him and
has
say,
to fall.
They would have to go to him just like, you know, the Timberwolves went to Kevin Garnett back in the day and just said, you're worth more to us in a trade now. This doesn't do us any good to have you here. We're trying to rebuild, but we can't rebuild around you, you know, for obvious reasons. So they would have to go to him and make that decision. But what are other places? Give me another team that has, like the Washington Wizards could offer Bradley Beal, right? Jaylen Brown doesn't want to play for Washington. He doesn't want to, he's going to want to sign a long-term extension with the Washington Wizards. That's where he's going. They have a new GM there in Washington. Things are going to change there. So they could decide it's time to move on from Bradley Beal. Beal with Tatum is not you got two guys that can score.
Wait until the Warriors trade Draymond and Klay Thompson to Boston Jaylen Brown. Wow. And now you got Steph and Jaylen Brown throwing like Robert Williams. And that's your big three.
How does that work though? Because you still need a playmaker or something.
Oh man.
Yeah, it's not easy. I'm telling you. It's not easy. When you think about it, so the Celtics might have no other choice
but to pay him.
Just
because you have had like a ton of regular season success, they played a ton of playoff games. You just can't seem to get over the hump. Now, is it that Brown? Because a lot of people try to make it out to be, you know, Brown and Tatum simply can't win together. I don't know if that's the case. I just think that this year you didn't have the right head coach. Last year, you just lost to an historic team.
Yeah.
To one of the, 12 greatest players ever, who after game four just went nuts.
And Tatum was out of gas by the time he got to the finals. I mean, he had done so much to get there.
Yeah, Tatum had guarded Durant, Giannis.
They were up 2-1 in that series. Let's not forget that.
And winning in game four.
Yeah.
In game four.
They were there.
And then Steph Curry just went nuclear. Lost the series.
Yeah. What would I do? I would keep those two together, pay it, and then I would reconsider what I'm doing around them, which includes Marcus Smart, who I absolutely love as a player. But when you consider that it's not like Tatum and Brown play off of each other, you know, like it's not like they'll play on the same side of the court. They don't do that.
It feels like a your turn, my turn thing.
Absolutely. So what you need is in between them is the conduit. You need the facilitator that understand, like you need Chris Paul in his prime.
Yeah.
Like you need somebody with that kind of ability that can also, you know, play some defense, knock down shots, but mostly just understands the ability to trust me, like Jason Kidd. What Jason Kidd would do with those two is crazy. But those players just don't exist in the NBA today.
Yeah, it's not the same. It's more wing centric where the wings are facilitating and running
the
offense.
So then you need a coach who has a better system than what the hell they're running, right? That's what you need also.
You just gave this guy an extension.
That wasn't really
that
a
was
great
premature.
But that's what I mean. If you're sitting here in New York and you're looking at these teams and you're just going, that's it. Go ahead. Stop making some bad mistakes and we'll catch up.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
So Ty Butler in his first day today has done a pretty good job. We'll keep him for the rest of the week, I think, while Bart Scott's on vacation.
Where is he vacationing at?
That's a secret.
Why is it a secret?
Well, it's Nunya.
Oh, that just means you don't know.
No, what do you mean I don't know? Absolutely know. I know where he is at all times.
He doesn't trust you enough to let you know on what he's
incorrect.
Doing.
That is incorrect. I am just not the kind of friend that will throw out in the world where he is for, you know, I mean, it's his own private business where he likes to go and vacation.
Is this like a boo-boo loving vacation? Is he with a lady of his choice, or is just like one of those solo deals?
Listen, this is he's his own man. He's naked right now. He has his family. It's nobody's business.
Okay.
He's just I believe he's there. It's where he went is I think a bachelor party.
Oh, so he's getting right.
One of his friends are celebrating. So, yeah.
So he's also celebrating.
Well, I mean, he's there to celebrate, right?
But he's going to participate in the celebration.
Isn't that what we do? What's he going to do? Just stand there and wallflower? I mean, you know, you're going to participate. You're going to partake.
Phrasing?
So he's just gonna do his
thing. I want to see what condition he'll be in when he comes back next week. I'm really looking forward to it. But no, he's listening
to all the stories.
That's what I look forward to that more than anything. I live vicariously through Bart Scott, let's be honest. Don't we all? All right, so we'll grab a call or two here before we send it off to the Michael Kay Show. But some Interesting injury updates here. Talking Yanks did their weekly with Aaron Boone, or their, I think it's a weekly, right? Is it a daily?
Yeah, I think it's a week. It's a weekly.
Yeah. And so they posted some things that he talked about, one of them being that Harrison Bader and that hamstring issue, that he could miss some games. That's not great.
Could also end up on the IL.
That, I don't love that.
You know, I didn't. I think I underestimated, like many Yankee fans, the impact of Harrison Bader. You know, since his activation off the IL, Yankees 18-8, best record in baseball.
Yeah,
he's been tremendous. He's hitting home runs like he did in the postseason. You know, yes. He plays a world class.
I love him.
Outfield. He's got energy.
Yes,
but the problem is, you know, the injury bugs tends to get him.
Doesn't that sound familiar? I mean, again, if you're Brian Cashman, when he's playing, you're like, see what I brought you? Told you this is what he could be. We don't need Jordan Montgomery. We needed this guy. Look what he brings. But the problem is that Brian Cashman loves damaged goods. Like, he is that guy. Like, don't worry, we can fix it. Like, it just drives you crazy. Like, yes, you're right. You're right. But it's damaged goods. And you have to be careful with players who are either notoriously hurt or were already hurt when you got them, Frankie Montas. Like literally hurt when you got them. And you're like, that's not going to be a problem for us. Really?
Find someone who looks at you the way Brian Cashman looks at injured players. Full-blown
Speaking
love.
Of, so Rizzo, that's the other one. I mean, Rizzo's been really good this year. Like, actually, Judge has been overshadowing just how good Rizzo has been this year.
Tremendous.
And that weird collision that he had at first base, I thought he was going to start fighting him. Like, that was so bizarre. Was that Tatis? Like, that was bizarre.
Yeah, he went down.
And the way he pushed him away, like, it looked like he was mad at him for the way he tagged him. It ended up being a neck injury. And now, I don't think he's playing tonight. No, he's not going to play tonight either. He's out of the lineup again. I want an update on Carlos Rodon, if there is one.
Yeah.
I broke my back.
It's spinal. So what is he? I love well when played. they list injuries and they're just like comma. like when there's a comma in your injury report, that's like too many damn injuries. But he's expected to resume some throwing. I love this touch and feel session that he had yesterday, which is nice. But they think that he's with the team, and that he's going to keep throwing and, you know. I mean, that sounds great.
But another guy who's always hurt, and he was hurt to start the season, and then yes. In his rehab, injured himself again.
And when they bring up this thing, when they say it's like a chronic issue, now that doesn't mean he likes to get high. It means this recurs a lot. Speaking of recurring injury, Giancarlo Stanton is going to begin his rehab assignment today. They're thinking maybe this coming weekend in L.A.,
you know what's so insane about
That's
him?
Nice.
Like every year, we get like excited about, you know, he's gonna start playing the outfield more. He's gonna open up the DH.
Stop. Yeah, exactly.
Oh man! And then he gets hurt, and then we spend the rest of the regular season with him as the DH.
Look,
back where we started.
I don't care. Wrap him in bubble wrap. I only need him in October.
Great. He's great in October.
I'm telling you, that's what I mean. Like, call me a spoiled fan all you want. I don't care if I can get Rizzo. If I can get Stanton, Judge, Rizzo, or Judge, Stanton, Rizzo, whatever it is, if I can get those three guys in a row in my lineup when the games matter most, I'm feeling good about my chances. So, like, that's where we're at right now. Oh, last but not least, guess who the Orioles just picked up?
Aaron Hicks. Found a new home.
Oh, you know the revenge game is going to be epic.
Well, Mullins is hurt right now, so they're probably going to start right away if this gets good done.
Nothing would be better than him trotting out a home run at Yankee Stadium and then pulling a calf muscle. Ty, I'll see you tomorrow.
I'll holla.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.